Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap Up. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. And of course, seems like basketball won't go anywhere right now in the summer, but we got the Midsummer Classic in front of us. Some moves are being made. And another superstar. That's right, I'm not calling him a star. Another superstar waves goodbye to the league. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
Let me get my thing, music. Let me get my thing, music. Hey, let me get my thing, music. Hey, let me get my thing, music.
Just forget everything that you know. Let's take it all the way back to hello. They say you're living like you've died before. I got a place that only I can go. Ooh, let me take you to flight school.
We'll learn to fly.
Ooh, let me take you to flight school. Never been so high, kiss the ground goodbye. And you say, damn, baby, how did you get that fly? Flight school.
Oh, yeah, I got the air.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. We will be getting into a lot of interesting stuff, unfortunate situations. But before we do all of that, I got to get the co-host of the evening in here. I got Tommy B calling in from the Metro, the DMV. Welcome to the Rapper. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good.
Okay, definitely. And while we get ready to see the midway point of the baseball season, the Midsummer Classic, the Derby's in front of us, the All-Star Game is a day away also. We'll be jumping into that, seeing who we got for tonight. For the Derby as well, see who could actually have that hot round. You know, it's going to be somebody that may sit up there and hit, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20. I still remember where it was 28 home runs hitting, you know, the downside of an inning. So we'll see how that goes, see who actually makes the better selection tonight, if it will be TP or TB. Let's see who pulls that one out. First and foremost, I got to talk about the superstar. That's right. I'm calling him a superstar. People may feel different, maybe like, oh, well, he fell off, he got old, so on and so forth. He, to me and other people, this is debatable, arguable, however you want to look at it, the best power forward we have ever seen. That's right, the best power forward. Now, of course, you could throw Karl Malone in there. Karl Malone scored a hell of a lot of points. You could also probably throw Charles Barkley in there. Charles Barkley was a, you know, dual threat. He got a lot of rebounds, scored a lot, also could step out and knock down shots. Part of a line, especially being the size that he was. But to look at a power forward that did it all, from scoring to rebounding to blocking shots, and the epitome of it all is winning. Winning. And this is the crazy part of how I look at it after, life after Tim. I want to call it lack. You know what I'm saying? What the Spurs will look like without Tim Duncan. And I don't doubt Greg Popovich not one bit. I know Popovich is one of the, if not the best coach in the NBA, but we've never seen him go without Tim Duncan. Ever since Tim Duncan's been with him since 97, they've been crushing the Western Conference. It's going to look kind of awkward to see this San Antonio Spurs team without number 21 on that team starting. I can't even say on the sideline because he wasn't a bench player. Always had the power to go out there and do what he needed to do. And for me personally, it's like he went away from his bench shot. I think Tim Duncan, if he wanted to, probably could give us another two or three solid years of basketball if he just used the glass. Because he couldn't nobody stop that shot. When he was using the bench shot, Tim Duncan was the best. I mean, still is the best power forward I've seen, but we'll get into all of this right now. Tommy, your thoughts on Tim Duncan wrapping his career up after 19 seasons, all with the San Antonio Spurs? not surprised. I was going to predict that he was, but I wasn't sure. Then when they signed Pau Gasol, I really thought it was going to happen. I think Pop and them knew Duncan was gone. I mean, to say he's one of the he's the all-time greatest power forward, I'm not sure about that. I mean, Barkley's there, Malone's there. You can go back to the 80s with the McHale with the Celtics. He's one of the best. I'll say this. Duncan is the most unselfish player for what he's done and what the way he did with the Spurs. I mean, he never complained. He took pay cuts when it needed to be done. Didn't complain. It was his team. Pop told him, hey, this is Parker's team now. You just ride with, and never complain. When it got moved to Lillard, he didn't complain. Lillard was the new star. I mean, he never complained. He did what was the best for the team. You will never see that again, definitely with this generation of players nowadays. It's got to always be about them. I believe you'll never see a winner like him again. I mean, he played 19 seasons and never did he lose. He always had at least 50 wins or more. I mean, Kobe Bryant didn't even do that. LeBron might be the next one. We'll have to see. But, I mean, it's sad to see him go out the way he did go out. He didn't look good that series against OKC this year. I really like to have seen him finish better than what he did, but hey, Father Time catches up. He catches up. There's not a whole lot you could do about it.
Now, and it's interesting because we could get into the debate without saving, man. I like to meet. The ones that I could throw in the conversation were the ones that were mentioned. You got Malone, well, both Malones, Moses or Carl. You could throw Barkley in there. Depending on how the Lakers ran their show, they would either have Worthy, which Worthy a lot of times ended up playing the three. But if they had Coop on the floor, it would be Coop and Worthy. So it's interesting to put Worthy there, but it, more than likely Worthy would have been the three and they having Coop come off the bench. There are some power forwards that I could put in this discussion, but I can't look at it as the impact of Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan came into the league and had David Robinson on that Spurs team and took the shine from David Robinson. David Robinson is a Hall of Famer. David Robinson is a guy that you say that name, you know the Admiral. You know what time it is. Duncan came there and the whole perspective, every camera turned to the youngster out of Wake Forest. And how he just picked up the game of basketball 4 years previous because he was a swimmer. Tim Duncan used to swim. Well, he probably still swims now. I'm not saying that he's – but he was swimming, like, competitively in the Virgin Islands. And knowing that he came from an island and came here and dominated the sport and really took his nickname and put it into use in the NBA. The Big Fundamental, that's his nickname, people. And it's like he went away from it as he got older because it was like he can hit that shot regardless of where he was. But I remember his first, how can I say, 97 to about 2005. I don't want to say 2007 when they won the championship, but around 2005 when they beat the Pistons, that bank shot was automatic. Automatic. All he had to do was he had to post up, he turned his face. If he seen the glass, you were in trouble. If he seen the glass, you were in trouble. And around, like, 2007, 2008, it was like he just wanted to knock down the shot. He didn't want to use the glass anymore. To me, I felt like he looked at it like it was too easy. It was too easy. Tim Duncan's game was so basic, and he would score at will, let alone he was a defensive presence, let alone he would get you anywhere from 7 to 10 rebounds a game. It's not like he's sitting down there and just all offering. Duncan did it on both sides of the ball. And in the meantime, while he took the shine away from David Robinson, they won two championships. They won two championships. Even though one of their championships, people like to throw an asterisk in front of it, say, oh, well, it was the lockout season of 99, and, you know, they played the Knicks, and Larry Johnson back was hurting, and, you know, Spree in Houston. I remember all of that because I'm right here in the New York area, so I remember all of it. But for them to come off with a 4-1 win up against the Knicks in that series speaks volumes. And he won the MVP of that series as well, taking care of business in that one also. I mean, there's so many things that you could look at with Tim Duncan. Being a part of several different, you know, Olympic teams for the U.S. also, what he brought to the organization of the San Antonio Spurs, there is no way that I can think from now to 97 and hear the word San Antonio Spurs be said and not think about Tim Duncan first. That, without thinking about him first from 97 till now. Of course, I could say before 97 it was David Robinson, Sean Elliott, you know, the usual suspect that they had back then, Vinny Del Negro. I'm digging. But once Father Time started tapping them on their back, it was a young gun that was 6'11 that could do it all on the floor. And I can say a lot of this prowess and buildup was Coach Pop and Tim Duncan. I look at Popovich and Duncan like I look at Phil Jackson and Jordan. And no, I'm not calling Tim Duncan Michael Jordan. And no. I'd love the comparison between Popovich and Phil Jackson. But knowing that they had an athlete in front of them that helped them get the championships that they needed respectively on any season that they won their championships, that's the way I hold the perspective. Looking at Jordan looking forward to accomplish the feat, and so did Tim Duncan, including knocking off a LeBron James team twice. Twice. He knocked off LeBron James twice. Once in Miami, one in Cleveland as well. So we can look at a lot of things that Tim Duncan did for the game, put him in the lights of all of the guys that came from, you know, back in the day, all of the bigs that have been a part of the game with some of the more lethalist, you know, offensive moves. You got Kareem with the sky hook. You got Shaq with the spin move and dunk. And you know, you got Tim Duncan with the bank shot. Like, all of these situations are memorable, you know. And looking at what Tim brought to the game, I'm not going to lie. Personally, like me being a guy in the Western Conference, good riddance. Get out of here. I don't want to see you no more. And I'm saying it with a smile because I'm being funny because I love the sport of basketball. Analytically, I will miss him. I will miss him. I'm not even going to lie. I had a tough time knocking down the bank shot. I was one of those finesse guys. I got to hit the shot. I can't hit the glass. I would hit the glass too hard. I would see Duncan hit that shot effortlessly, and I'm like, yo, I got to hit a bank shot. Like I want to hit a bank shot. Like, if I hit a bank shot like it was an and one, like I got hacked and I threw it up on the glass, I had to hit that shot. Duncan was doing that and one. He would step out and hit that shot. He would step further away from the glass and hit that. I'm telling you, like, this is going to be a guy that I know I'm going to miss. I am going to miss him. I'm saying that good riddance stuff just to be funny. Just to be funny, I'll say that about Tim Duncan. I will miss Tim Duncan for real. I will miss Tim Duncan. And it's different, and I'm glad that I'm getting a dig into this too, because it's different when Kobe retired, because I started feeling sorry for Kobe at the end of his run, because Kobe had a rotator cuff. He broke his leg, the Achilles injury. His body was breaking down on him. Tim Duncan just got older. And you could see him, like, slowing down, but he still could contribute. And he said at the end of the Thunder series that he had to think about it and speak to his little girls, his daughters, because he's no longer married anymore, to see what they thought. And I guess they must have said that, you know, maybe he should give it up and, you know, spend time with the family. So it's huge to see that Tim Duncan's career is ending in 2016 with the Spurs team. And look, this is even crazier. Tim Duncan, this is a down season for him. And his Spurs finished with what, 68 wins? That's 68 wins on the season. And he was a part of it. Like, I can see if he went out and they won, like, 10. I'm saying it like it's a low number. I can see if they won like 52 games, and that's great. 52 is great in the Western Conference. They won 68. Still, like man, listen, like I still think if he wanted to, he could go out there and collect the check for like his minimum. I don't even want to say league minimum, veterans minimum. Like his minimum would be like $7 or $8 million, and still be able to contribute to the Spurs. Because I wouldn't even want to see him go nowhere else, put on another jersey. That's the funny part. Looking at legendary athletes, legendary players that play for these organizations, and put on another jersey. I don't think that's the makeup of Tim Duncan. And respectively, he will be noted as the or one of the best power forwards we have ever seen. I'm saying the. T-H-E-E, not one of the B. He is the guy. He is the guy. And I would love it. I would love somebody to come in here and discuss or debate, feel some type of way. I'm not even going to, like, stack. I don't want to stack up a whole bunch of stats on what Duncan did or didn't do. But knowing that he was able to accomplish a feat at the end of the day, and if it wasn't for Ray Allen with that lucky three ball in the corner, Duncan might have 6 championships alongside Michael Jordan. Just think about that. Just think about that. He had 5 championships, what, before Kobe? No. He had it after Kobe. I apologize. I'm lying. Because he got his 5th up against the Heat recently. But still, yeah, knowing that this was happening and then they weren't really getting knocked off when they got to the finals. The Spurs took care of business when they seen that Larry O'Brien trophy. Now it's like, what's the life after Tim Duncan? Manager Nobley said that he's coming back. Tony Parker looked good in Olympic play last night, scoring 26 points. Just thinking about other players on this roster and how much they can contribute, going down the road moving forward. Anything else left in front of Tim Duncan or people that play with this San Antonio Spurs team?
This Spurs team might be better than what they were this year. Take nothing away, Tim, with what Duncan did. But you're adding a younger Pau Gasol. I'm very interested to see how this works now without Timmy. Very am. But like you said, it's going to be the first time with Pop without having him. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't Manu Ginobili's last season coming up. And then he retires because he's getting up there too. I'm very interested to see how it goes. But, hey, Tim... Yeah, he wasn't the flashiest. I mean, but you know, he was very skilled in what he did. I mean, what can you say? There's never anything bad you can say about it. You didn't hear his name in the press about this or that. He was very quiet.
Well, no. He had 2 little instances. One he had with the referee Crawford when he was on the sideline and Crawford kicked him out because he clapped up a call while he was on the bench. Him and Crawford used to go at it.
Like I said, there was no interest. We all know how Crawford is. He's the ref that has to have the center of attention.
Right.
We all know that. So I'm not even counting that.
Right. No, I got another one. I'm being funny, but I gotta try and drop some type of bad out of Tim Duncan because everybody loves Tim, even though he was on the Spurs, and I can't stand the Spurs because my cousin's a Spurs fan. One of my closest friends is a Spurs fan as well, so I don't want to hear that crap, but I'm being funny in saying that. And the other instance was when David Stern started singling out him and Allen Iverson and telling him and Allen Iverson they couldn't come to the press conferences in baggy clothes or T-shirts or things of that nature. They wanted everybody to come dressed up, and Allen Iverson and Duncan didn't dress. Like, these guys will come as they were, like athletes coming to a game. And if people still to this day say Tim Duncan doesn't dress up, Tim Duncan, the most you will get out of Tim Duncan is a button-up shirt. He will not put a tie on. He won't button up the top part of the shirt. He'll be as comfortable as he possibly can, and not for nothing. That's what your boy Timeless does. I don't like wearing ties, even though I will here and there to make a suit look better or something. But I'm the type that'll let that top button be open, and I'm chilling. So, Tim Duncan, I feel you. from TB to TP to TD. I love it. I love all the T's right there, man. I love it, man. Duncan, I'm going to miss you, man. If you came back, I wouldn't even question if you could come back out there and do it. I know you could still give a team anywhere from 10 to 16 points a night. And I could just imagine if he did just say, you know what, I'm not going to retire this year and play, and he started working the bank shot. Because if he started working the bank shot, ain't nobody see that in the league, especially on the block. You know, who did a bank shot on the block in the league? The only person that could beat him when he was hitting that bank shot was Shaq, and Shaq was trying to, like, overpower him. That was the only person that could beat Duncan on that bank shot. Otherwise, everybody in the league was in trouble. I also remember the NBA Finals when they played the Miami Heat, and he gave Chris Bosh 30 points by halftime. That was just, what, 3 years ago? Just 3 years ago, he had 30 at halftime and then shoot out.
I think the signing of Pau Gasol sealed the deal. Because something tells me that pretty much sealed the deal, because they probably asked him to come off the bench, and he had more pride than to do that.
If you left it to me, I'm not starting Pau Gasol over Tim Duncan. You crazy. You crazy. I would never do that, never, even right now, never. I don't even think Popovich said that. And not to just, like, say it like the bad mouth your thought or opinion, I don't even think Popovich would even think that. I still would look at that starting five being Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge, and pal, you come off the bench. That's right. Especially how injury-prone Pau Gasol is. Tell me a team he went to and he didn't get injured. When he was in Memphis, he got injured. When he was in L.A., he got injured. Chicago, he got injured. Come on. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket on Pau. Please. I'm not buying it. Not to say that you're just throwing that out there. I'm just saying, just in general, to respond to it. No harm meant. No harm meant. I'm just speaking to my brother. That's all we need to do. All right. Let me get away from this, because I got a couple of dishes tonight, Sports City. I'm trying to cook as much as I can in this hour that we have going on. Now, Sports City. Mm-hmm. Now, I know. He's already laughing. Don't laugh, because you're making me laugh. Don't make me laugh. I'm trying to do this. Chill out. Now, I know we all are human. I know that we all have flaws. Ain't nobody perfect. And I know this past week and a half, past 2 weeks in hell, the start of this year, a lot of crazy shit's been happening. Now, excuse me for cursing, but a lot of crazy stuff has been happening all the way up. And yeah, I'm going to throw power forward like Blake Griffin into the scenario, fighting at a restaurant, breaking his hand and sitting out time. Draymond Green gets into an altercation at a restaurant. I thought this was him at a club or something. He was at a restaurant, got into a physical altercation, and got arrested for assault. Now, the crazy part about it is he's out on bail. The bail was $200, so this really had to be a mini scuffle or probably a bunch of shouting, and people probably got scared within the restaurant because, you know, Draymond ain't eating burgers and hot dogs no more, even though he looked like a burger and hot dog type of dude. And not to say that I don't eat burgers and hot dogs, because I eat burger and hot dog. But the fact of the matter is, I think people probably got, you know, intimidated or scared of what was going on. And the cops probably were called to the scene and locked him up in an assault case. Now, this is the one thing that it actually bothered me about Draymond. Draymond, you just got off of the NBA final run where that game 7, if you guys won, you probably would have been a threat to get the MVP just because of your performance in that game 7, even though I would have gave it to Klay Thompson if the Warriors would have won the championship, because I feel like Klay was the only one carrying them the entire postseason, even when Steph Curry went down and sprained his knee, things of that nature. I thought it was Klay. But Draymond, with him being ejected in that game 5, or let me not say ejected, suspended for game 5, for the incident that happened with LeBron James, he came out firing, playing great basketball. Now, you, being a known notable face in the NBA, being in front of whoever in Michigan may be calling you out, and let me be honest, y'all all know I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I know how rowdy Michigan can get. I've been out there several times. I have a lot of people in Michigan that claim me as family, brother, whatever. They already know the slogan, one pride, things of that nature. They know. I've been out there, so I know how crazy it can get. I've never lived out there, and he's lived out there, so he knows what to expect. And to put yourself in harm's way, I hate to sound like I'm the mediator or the counselor, but you have to walk away from this situation. You have to know how important you are at this given time right now, especially in the NBA. You're young, and you're in your mid-20s. You got to be smarter than this. You got to know that there is a target on you, whether you're in Michigan at home or not. You got to be smarter than this. But now he's facing a legal situation. I think charges may end up getting dropped, depending on how things go down in court, which I really hope. I don't want to see him in no big legal situation. Unless he knocked dude out and broke teeth or broke a jaw or something, then okay. Then whatever they have to do, they have to do. But now you're in something that's real petty that you have to be bigger than, and as time goes on, you got to remove that pride. Even though us as men, you got that competitive nature, don't want to be talked down to, things of that nature. But your thoughts on Draymond Green and how he moves forward from this incident, which happened last night?
I was shocked. I was actually out at the store when I got the alert, and that's when I screenshot and sent it to you. I was shocked when I seen it. And then I got to thinking, what or where he was at. Then I looked into it more, and he was in East Lansing. I mean, it's where he went to school at, because he's a Michigan State guy. I mean, that blew me even more. I mean, I don't know all the details. So, I mean, I kind of want to wait and see what really was more into it. My guess would be is nothing will really come out of it. In my opinion, it'll all probably be he'll throw some cash at whoever filed the charges and everything will be dropped and forgotten.
So you think like in a year's time that this will come up on the bottom line and you know, they'd be like the charges were dropped. That's how I feel this would be. But there's no need
probably
to have
so. This is
right, right.
Not even before that, because court date's what, July 20th? So next week, I believe. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you know,
who knows? Everything could be thrown out of court before even then. Who knows what
right.
could happen?
Right, and more than likely he may end up getting a continuation and keep pushing it down until his big-time NBA money and lawyers, you know, talk this one out of the courtroom and probably throw some money at it and getting away from it. But you got to be smarter than this, especially if these guys are pushing you around and, well, not saying they were pushing them, but just like, you know, mentally pushing you around and making you try to take the bait so they could get you to knock them the heck out so they have a big money lawsuit. Look, walk out of the restaurant, man. Get in your car, go home, and go eat somewhere else or something. Like, you got that type of money to do it. It's no need to get yourself locked up. Crazy part about it, even though I don't want to make it seem like it's a little bit of money, because, you know, it is in these type of instances, his bail was set for $200.
That's funny.
Right. Like, so, like, you really put yourself in jail for somebody, unless it was a 10% payment. What, somebody put up $20 to get you out of jail? Or even if he got NBA money, here goes $200. Here goes $200. Right. Here goes $200 and hold that. I'm out of here. Matter of fact, it's in my pocket. I got $200 in my pocket. NBA money, shoot, he better. Here, get me out of here, man. I don't need no bail bondsman. Stop that. And not to call him out, but Draymond don't even look like that type of player, man. He talks junk on the floor. I don't think he's a big badass, like sit up there and want to fight everything moving. He talks, but now we have to see how far this goes. If this has legs, if he, like I said, if he did end up knocking somebody out or something, this is something that we're going to have to look close to, you know, exactly how I feel
like
about this.
I'd like to know what caused it all. What started it?
I'm just as lost in this situation as you. Just
there
gotta
were
keep
no
up.
Injuries. Green
right.
is a member of the U.S. team.
Right. And he's a post.
So
he
could have knocked anybody out. Now, what gets me is he still qualified to play on the Olympic team?
Right, and he gets to leave the country. He gets to leave the country, too, so.
So he does get to play there.
Yeah, so it's bad timing for this situation, but he's clear. He's in the clear for now. He's in the clear for now. I'm just hoping that this doesn't go on any further. And the crazy part about it is, whenever the schedule comes out, boy, oh boy, you could just imagine when Golden State goes to play the Pistons in the Palace. It will be packed. It will be packed. He's from Michigan. He's a Michigan State product. He just got arrested in Michigan, and they just lost the championship after they went there last year. It will be a lot of people in the Palace trying to boo Draymond. Hell, the dude that he got into an altercation with probably will be there, too. Will probably be there, too. Stay tuned for that one. Now, Tommy, I know that, you know, a couple of things that have been going on in the sport world have actually been, you know, getting under your skin and bothering you. But I want to talk about the UFC and them being purchased. The UFC network organization has been purchased for over $4 billion, people, in which they were bought by the likes of the WWE network as well. There are a couple other buyers that actually had a hand in this, but looking at this situation, this is where I sparked the intrigue in you, Tommy. Looking at the situation of Brock Lesnar just coming back to the UFC and saying he wasn't going to fight there again, he just won his fight, luckily, literally because he smothered Mark Hunt, right? But now you got Brock back into this network. Knowing that he's a name for both networks, UFC and WWE, does this start to get questionable in the fighters that take place in both networks? You already got CM Punk trying to come to the UFC also. This is a situation where a lot of these athletes in both networks try to transition from the ring to the octagon. Your thoughts?
Let me ask you this first. So Dana and them sell this company. They're bought for $4 billion. But Dana still keeps his position, correct?
Right.
How does this make any sense? I mean, this would be like me and you selling this company, this show, but we still get to do what we... What the... What? I mean, yeah. No, I don't understand how you sell something, but you still keep your position. So otherwise, he gets paid for what? I don't know. Something's funny somewhere, like I said. Because it's funny how Brock comes back and they build Brock up.
Right.
And now this company that I guess they help run the WWE or whatever. They're part ownership with Vince or whatever. I'm not sure how it works. Buys the UFC now. So what this is going to do is you're going to see, what are you going to do? See some of the, like, Conor McGregor, Rousey. You're going to see them at pay-per-views now? Star pay-per-views at the WWE now? I mean, this is going to be very interesting to see. I think it's a joke. It's another thing for Dana White to spend, hey, look at me. I got money. You double-cross me. I can make sure drug test sales.
So do you think this is going to fall off? Do you think the UFC will end up somewhat looking questionable? I don't want to just go out there and jump off the deep end and call it fake, even though that's the way I look at the WWE on a lot of their occasions.
Well, WWE is very safe.
Say that again?
I said the WWE is very fake. Everything's scripted. Yeah, it might hurt to land on a mat here or jump off the cage here and do this and do that, but pretty much it's fixed. You know who's going to win. They scripted from the get-go. Now, I think the UFC will just get bigger because what this will do is, like I said, they'll put some of the stars probably in the WWE now, that they'll be in more movies, maybe more TV shows, so this sport will get even bigger, meaning Dana White will get more money.
That's for sure. 4.2, I wonder how much he gets on the kickback. Does he get $1 billion of it? Like even if he doesn't get the full four, I'm like what does he see? Like Dana's about to be a real rich man. Regardless if he's mad at John Bones Jones or not, Dana is going to be sitting on pretty pennies. That is for sure. But I am concerned about this network now that the UFC may turn into WWE. That's what I'm concerned about.
I'll go out and I'll say this. I predict John Jones will never fight in the Octagon for the UFC again. Watch.
Wow. That is a bold statement. Depending on how this the suspension works, if he doesn't get suspended, then I want to see if he can get back. But if they say anywhere, like you said the other day, Tommy, if he's really facing 2 or 4 years, it'd be hard to see him be back out there. I would agree with you. But I
mean, the 4 years, that all depends on how the judge, by what I heard on the Cowherd show on Fox Sports when they were interviewing Cormier. It all depends on this cocaine charge that he tested positive for. If they count that against him, on top of this steroid spell, he could look up to 4 years suspension. If they don't count the steroids, it'll be a 2 year suspension, up to 2 years. They could do a year suspension, but I do not think he'll fight again in the UFC. Do not.
We'll see. We will be watching this closely. That is for sure. Okay, Tommy. Any topic that you like to jump into? If you want to get into the Derby, we can also talk about how these things are going to set off for tonight as well. Any topic that you like to dig into here at the wrap up?
Well, you got the Home Run Derby tonight. Now, I don't like the setup the way they do it, the same way they're doing it last year. But, hey, we have no say, really. Who do you have winning it?
I asked you first. Wait, first and foremost.
Yeah, but I want to see who you say.
You can't go at me first if I push that to you. You can't do that. You got to give me my answer first, then I go off of you. You know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with your boy and the NL East, Giancarlo.
My boy's not in it.
Huh?
My boy's not in it, and I'm glad he's not in it.
Well, you know what I meant from the NL West. Giancarlo Stanton. I'm going with Stanton tonight.
Nope. He'll hit the longest home run, but I think he wears down. I'm going out of a guy from the AL West, from the Colorado Rockies, Gonzalez.
He's in the NL. He's in the NL West.
Well, yeah, NL West. Sorry. If I said AL, I'm sorry. I'm going with Carlos. Carlos Gonzalez.
Can I switch my pick or no?
What if you want?
You know what? I'm going to stick with Stanton. But my honorable mention, because I picked him about a month or two ago, was Will Myers. And the reason why I picked Will Myers We share the same birthday. His birthday is December 10th. And, of course, you know, my birthday is December 10th. So that's he's my honorable mention. I'm going to stick with Stan.
Oh, so do I get an honorable mention, too, then?
Yes, you can, because I did it. So go ahead. You get an honorable mention.
Man. I've got two that I could really go with. I could go Trombone or the Orioles. Or I could go Robert Cano. You know what? I'll go Cano.
Listen, this is what I count out Cano. If Cano's father is throwing the pitches to him again, I quit.
His father is throwing it to him.
I don't want to watch it no more. I'm not watching.
And Todd Frazier's brother throwing to him.
Cano's father could throw that pitch one night, and Cano is going to take it out of the park. I'm not watching that. Cano could do that all night long, man. He was having fun with his father, man. That's a problem. That's a problem. I respect Robinson Cano. I met him, and he's a real cool dude. Robinson Cano is a real cool dude, man. That's mean, man. You know what? I'm going to stick with my two. My honorable mention is Will Myers and John Carlos Stanton, especially the bombs that he should be able to hit out there. And plus, it's a deep park, so I want to see how these shots look. Because they're going to look special. Every shot that he can hit will look special out there.
He'll hit the longest ball. I think Stanton will hit the longest ball.
Okay, so here we go. I want to talk about something that happened in the middle, as we are at the middle of the summer right now. Your thoughts on some of the teams that are in the league that may have surprised you or stunned you on the way that they played up until this point? Pitchers, I mean, I know I hear you talk about Strasburg a lot. I mean, Madison Bumgarner was a hit away from having a no-hitter. In which, if they do get it done, the only team in Major League history to have five straight seasons with a pitcher that's thrown a no-hitter, he was close to accomplishing the feat but giving up a hit in the eighth inning. I mean, the Giants have turned it on at the right time. Can they keep this up? Can the Astros actually pull back into this hunt and make things happen in the AL West also? I mean, there's a lot of different storylines in the league that we could throw out there, but anything that you'd like to have at here at the wrap-up as well?
The shocker of the team that shocked me so far. Let me see here. I can go to the Cleveland Indians. By the way, Ty, your Twins won big last night again.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm telling you, watch out for them. Let's see, the Giants are Cubs about where I thought they'd be. You know what? That Miami Marlins team's going to play pretty well in the second half, I think. I watch and see. I'll say this. Watch and see if that last 2 weeks in September is not close between the Nationals, Mets, and Marlins. If this Marlins team can get Carlos Stanton going and hitting consistently, plus don't think they get D. Gordon back here soon too. That team can be very interesting in the second half. Miami could be very interesting in the second half.
Do they catch you guys is the question. Because that's what it's all about right now. They got to get in first place. I don't. And looking at the race right now, they are six back. They are tied with the Mets. Do the Nationals start to falter again? Or can they get a wild card? Because right now they're ahead of the Cardinals and the Pirates. However, the Dodgers have the lead on them for the wild card also. Do the Dodgers start to fall apart as well too?
That shocks me, too, because I didn't have Dodgers in the postseason.
But right now they are in line for the wild card. It's early. I don't want to just start talking wild card talk now, but if everything were to stop today, the Dodgers would be the fourth-rated team in the National League.
Yeah, the Mets and Miami would have a one-game playoff to see who they would play the Dodgers.
Right. Okay, I'm gonna throw out my mid-season surprises, even though I could just say Twins, and just be done with it, because I could just talk about Minnesota all day long and just tell you how mad I am and how things are just absolutely – oh, you're laughing? This is funny to you? You're laughing? Don't make me –
15-4 over Texas last night, Todd. 15-4.
I'm not talking about them, okay? I said I could do that, okay? I could do that. Don't – stop. Stop it. He thinks he's funny. He thinks he's funny. Over there with a freaking smile on his face. Okay. Stunner to me, right, is the Los Angeles Angels. I am stunned with this team because they have a lot of talent on this roster, and they are sitting at the bottom of the AL West, in which I feel like they are a better team than Seattle and Oakland, but their record has not shown it. They have not come out and played consistent ball. They have not. And it's drawing closer to the nearing of the, you know, end of the season, because we're getting close to September, people, whether we like it or not, especially all of the football people around sports. I know they love to hear me say that, but we're getting close to September, and I actually think about what Tommy said it about a month ago, month and a half ago. If things don't turn around for the Angels, social will be gone. And I had to
said
stop
it the
Tommy
first baseball show.
Hey, hold.
We did the preview.
Okay. Can I talk? I don't cut you. Look at Sports City. You see what he does to me? He laughs at my twins. He cuts me off. Everything. I get it all, people. I get it all. Now, I wasn't looking at the situation to watch Socha get fired, because I actually think he's one of the best skippers in the game. To me, I'm not just saying, oh, he dominate the ALS. He doesn't do that because it's a battle between them and the Rangers. But you always hear the Angels and the Rangers hovering around the top of the ALS, even though the Astros just got into this discussion as of last year. But knowing what Socha is able to do with this Angel team. Now, watching a situation like this season happen, if they get rid of Socha, does this team have to turn around in them to get back to the top of the division? That's what I'm looking at. Can they be in 2017 and dominating the AL West again? That's what I question. Or do they sit with Socha and let Socha do his thing while he's watching a lot of players on his roster get older? Get older. You're going to sit up here and watch Albert Pujols, what, he's 36 going on 37 next season. Like, does he still have that pop? I really thought Albert Pujols would be the one contending to catch Barry Bonds' record. Because I really thought A-Rod might get there, and A-Rod kind of slowed down. If A-Rod has another season after this one, he could probably do it. Probably. But I thought it was Pujols. Pujols slowed down significantly. Significantly. They also have Trout, one of the better players in the league that we've seen. Big at the plate, hustle phenomenon out there in the field. And it can't be the two of these guys trying to get it done. They need that team effort. That's how the That's how the Angels have been playing, and it hasn't really panned out the way that they needed to. So that's the stunner for me being the Angels. The surprise, I can't look no past the division that I love and respect, being AL Central, and Tommy's hit on them a lot. Speaking on the Cleveland Indians, as much as happened with the LeBron scenario and them winning the World Championship. I don't know if the Indians use that as fuel or are doing their own thing, but we are starting to see a different type of likeness to the Ohio region of sports. And if the Indians could actually hang on to this, they have a 6.5 lead on the nearest team, which is the Tigers right now. And the Tigers, I can really say they can't identify with themselves. If they want to be hot with the players that they have, Miggy and Verlander, JV, all of these guys, or lose questionable games and get thrown out at the plate, things of that nature. You don't know what you're going to see with this Tigers team. But the Indians have been doing it and not making big noise about it. Like, they're like, hey, we'll continue to overlook us. We'll continue to win games and try to take the Central out. And no matter what, how people look at it, they have to go through the AL Central year after year. Whether it's the Royals, whether it's the Tigers, hell, the White Sox won the World Series, 8 years ago? I mean, you got to worry about what's coming out of the Central. regardless. So I go with the, you know, the surprise being the Indians right now. Now, the more intriguing race as of right now in the midseason or the Midsummer Classic, I look at everything that's in the AL East right now. And looking at the Orioles sit up top there, but Boston's in their rear view. And the crazy thing about Boston is this is Poppy's goodbye tour. The Red Sox start to pick up their mojo and get Poppy ready for a postseason bid, or is the end of September the last bit of baseball we see of David Ortiz? That's the one thing that I'm looking at as well, if Boston could actually turn this around. And they're playing good ball. It's not like I'm talking down on what they're able to do this season. And which, if you look at the All-Star team, is really like the Cubs versus the Red Sox. There's four Red Sox, there's four Cubs on each team. So they've done their work. Can they pattern this out to land this in the, you know, overdrive in the end of the season?
Hey, there's four Nationals, too. Don't forget us.
Who cares about the Nationals? Nobody cares about the Nationals. He laughed at my team, sports, didn't he?
Who is the Twins All-Star?
Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, okay.
He's been hitting the ball this year. He has been hitting the ball.
I don't think Baltimore wins this division. I've said why. I don't think they've got the pitching. I'm going to say the Blue Jays come back and win this division.
Whoa.
I think Boston gets the wild card. One of the wild cards. I really do. I think Toronto, they'll turn it around in the second half. They started to play good late before this break. They were coming around. Donaldson was hitting the ball. Batista, I mean, they're going to watch. Tulowitzki was starting to come around. I think Toronto wins this division.
But just like you said, that Toronto team has to be healthy at the right point. You just named some players on that team that actually get injured. Health is a big key to what goes on right now. Big key.
Who do you have winning the tie?
In the AL East.
Yeah.
That is so rough. It's between the three of them, though, at the top. It's between Baltimore, Boston, or Toronto. To me, because I'm biased and I don't care how people feel about it, I'm a Minnesota Twins fan. I'm attached to it somehow, even though I'm mad about it, what I'm about to say. But I'm going with Big Poppy. He started his career in Minnesota, and the front office of the Twins dealt him to Boston. Him and Doug Minkiewicz. I still remember that till this day. We got rid of both of them to the same team and watched both of them go there and get a damn championship. Like, talk about frustration.
Hey, you know where that Minnesota Twins came from, right?
Say that again?
You know where that Minnesota franchise started at, right?
Where did it start at?
D.C.
And they were the Washington,
Senators, and they moved to Minnesota.
Right. But nevertheless, and that was back in the 50s, 40s. It had to have been earlier than the Rod Carew days. I definitely know I wasn't around. But if I had
what
to pick one,
what about the AL Central? You think Cleveland can hold on, or Detroit, Kansas City make a run?
Okay, for the American League East, I'm going with Boston because I'm being biased because of where Poppy came from. The AL Central, oh, my God. Do I want to hang on to the Indians, man? And they are actually on a little losing streak right now. It's nothing, though, but they are losing as of late, though. You know what? I'm going to go with the Tigers. I will say the Tigers. I think the Tigers offense wakes up.
They still got Magella and Martinez, man. You got to worry about these two in that point. And Kinsler, like, they, you got to worry about these dudes, man. Like, they got offense, man. They got offense. And big-name guys that can make hits, that can make contact. And I'm not just saying they're swinging for the fences. It can happen. I'm going to go with Detroit, man. As much as I don't feel comfortable with
him.
And knowing all of our people in Michigan that are listening to the show probably jumping all over themselves, too, and knowing that they like
you know who I'm going with?
Who you going with?
You're going with Minnesota Twins. Yeah, right.
See, Sports City, this is what I have to deal with, Sports City. They come in here with a whole bunch of jokes and messing with me.
Cleveland, Ohio will win the Central. They're pitching. They have dominated this so far this year, the Detroit Tigers. They have ran them out of the field. I say Cleveland wins it. They have the pitching. They're hitting well. Terry Francona is going to turn this franchise around like he did the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, any other division that you wanted to take note in, or does everything stay the same
Let's
the way
see,
that it is?
The West, is done. Cincinnati's won, or
so that's essential.
Won that. Let's see here. Let's see, the NL West. I still think, I think San Francisco wins this division. Do you think LA can get back into this, or is it over?
I feel a certain way about the Dodgers, but the way that the Giants have been doing it, and I'm knocking on wood, seriously, I'm doing this for you because I'm a big diehard Madison Bumgarner fan. Ever since I gave him his praise 4 seasons ago, I told him that he would win a doggone World Series, and he did it. He did it. That's one of the best state of claims that I have. And I did that in April of that season of, 2012, I think that was, or 2014, one of them. But I said that he would be the star, and he came out, and they won the World Series. 2014, that was. The one thing that I'm not going to work for you, San Francisco, they are all healthy. They are all healthy. And here goes the crazier stat. Now that I look at it right now, they are playing better on the road. They're playing at Pac Bell. They're playing better on the road than playing in San Francisco. That should tell you something. That they don't care where they are. They really feel like they deserve to win, and they're champions. They have that, you know, that mystique. They feel like they should knock you off. San Francisco's going to sit on top of that NL West. I think that's them. Now, the NL Central,
it
because I want to see y'all do it, man, just to end the streak, man. I want to see y'all get everything, man. I want to see y'all get everything. But knowing the Cardinals could wake up at any given moment, knowing the Pirates have a chip on their shoulder, I know that they have to worry about those two teams. They have to. The last 10 games that the Cubs have played, they are 2-8. 2-8. They have been losing at a tremendous clip right now. There are articles and reports of talking about how the Cubs are limping to the middle of the season right now. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And who cares about the NL East? I won't even talk about the NL East.
I got a question for you, though, for the East. Got to do it. When we did our prediction show, you picked the Miami Marlins to win this division. You still going with them?
They are in the hunt, man. They're only 6 games back, man. They are only 6 games back. Oh, man. I got to. I can't. Now you put me on the spot, I can't. I gotta stick with Miami. I'm a hurricane, man. So I'm sticking with Miami. I got a little green and orange down there regardless. So I'm gonna stick with the Marlins, but if the Nationals continue to play strong outside of when Gio Gonzalez pitches, because boy Tommy will let me know when Gio's pitching. If they can continue to play strong ball, I don't know who's gonna slow them down. But if Gio's pitching, they have a shot.
other teams have a shot, but I got to think of Miami to be holding my feet to the fire.
Talking about Miami, we'll switch sports. We'll go from pro to college. Did you see where Mark Walton was reinstated back to the university?
No, I did not. So let me know, because this is a breath of fresh air to hear that Walton was reinstated.
Yes. The DUI charges was dropped. If you would pay attention in the groups that I post up, you'd see this stuff. He was reinstated by the university. District Attorney dropped the DUI charges.
I'm so happy because he's a young kid. He's going into his sophomore season, and so much promise, and so many people know what he brings to the table. It's like, don't let this happen to you. Don't let you be one of the, you know, Miami stories that you hear all the time, like the linebacker Blue and those guys a few years ago that couldn't play football because they had all field altercations. Like, don't be like that.
He
man.
Was
so
set up.
Who, Walton or
Walton was set up.
Okay.
That there was something funny going on. That somebody, by everything I'm hearing, he was set up. Someone called and said that he was this and he was that. And it's very, very difficult to explain. Because a lot was moving on.
Fair enough. As long as we got him back there, I feel a little bit comfortable. I didn't want to have it just be all Kaya, you know, trying to throw the ball around a lot, especially with some, you know, receivers that haven't really put their names out there. As much as I want to see Barrios and them get out there and do their thing, I feel like he has to go out there and do more. And I didn't want it to be all on Kaya. I didn't. So knowing that Mark Rick has a good ground attack, and this is something that Miami gets to focus on. So I'm feeling comfortable. I'm feeling more comfortable. Okay. Well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Yeah. Good show, Ty. Can't wait to get back tomorrow. Now, since the University of Miami that me and Ty love to follow did one thing right, now they got to do another thing right. I'm sure Ty knows that a lot of Juwan Young was suspended from the university. I heard this, I heard that, so I digged into it deeper, talked to people that I knew down and around the Coral Gables, South Florida area. The university suspends him for test driving a car. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Test driving a car. He gets suspended, dismissed from the team for test driving a car. What the hell is wrong with this university? When you got up the road in trailer taxi, quarterbacks, running backs, who knows who else that they had underneath the table, raping, beating on women, but they get to play. You go over to Alabama, Roll Tide. Fighting, beating on women, just running through because they play on that Alabama team. Then you got all this stuff going on in Tennessee, rape, but it's decided, and Peyton Manning and all these other players. Then you get to, I don't know, USC, Baylor, and all this. The play. But we get a kid that test drives a car. He's not smoking weed. He's not raping women. He's not selling drugs. He's not stolen a vehicle. He's test driving a vehicle, and the university suspends him. If he doesn't get to play this year, it's a sad, something has to be done.
Okay, well, I know both of us will keep our eyes closed to this situation. I'm feeling a certain way about the Hurricanes. I don't even want to. He already getting me close to talk about college football. I'm trying to chill, Sports City. I'm trying, but it's an aroma in the air. It's an aroma in Sports City. I can smell pigskin. I can smell it. I'm trying to chill, Sports City. He's trying to get me to go there. I'm trying to relax, man. I'm trying. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. The grill will be wide open. Any topic that you guys want to talk about, call and talk to us from 917-889-5592. You already know the phone number to get in here and talk to us at the cookout. A lot of stuff. Like I said, Tim Duncan, I salute you. As much as I'm a Thunder fan, I salute you. I don't know whether I want to say I want to see you go or I don't want to see you go. I'm in between. Like, I'm in between. I don't want to see you go. I want to see you go. Because you've been stumping us, and let alone we don't got Serge Ibaka to D you no more. So that's even more of a problem. Man, Duncan, I'm going to miss you. I'm not going to lie. Draymond Green, whoever's in your corner, whoever you have rolling with you around Michigan, you shake them. You're responsible for millions of dollars in your name, let alone you're around your mom and your family. They're trying to keep you running the right path. Do the right thing, man. Do not get caught up in these scenarios where they take money from you. I call the law time and money. They take your time, take your money at the end of the day. Don't let them be responsible for your funds that you work for to get there. You have to be smarter. On that note, tell a friend. It's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Your mom.